couple of technical questions for you, Habib. You showed us in the first video that you showed us of the lab basin. What is the maximum depth of that basin?
The basin is 15 feet deep with a moving floor, so we can vary the depth from 0 to 15 feet in that basin. At 150 scale, you essentially multiply by 50. So offshore, 50 times 15 times 50, it would be a model of a 750-foot water depth offshore.
Okay. And a question about your hull. Does it have a self-ballasting system?
It can have a self-ballasting system, but no, we don't use one.
And do the mooring anchors move across the seabed, for example, in a storm?
No, they don't. The way the mooring anchors work is there's a catenary chain in there. Then there's a point on the seabed with a kind of a lumped mass, if you wish, to reduce that motions. And there's a whole length along the seabed. So you try to minimize, if you wish, the dragging on the seabed with that design. So.
Okay. Let's see a couple more. You mentioned the LIDAR design you've deployed. Is that a UMaine design? And what is the involvement of, I believe you mentioned, the UK Carbon Trust?
Yeah, the LIDAR that it's the design of the floating buoy that holds up the LIDAR is our design, yes, and including all the electrical systems, sensors on that LIDAR. And what we've done is we've taken a commercial LIDAR and placed it on that unit. Actually, we've tried two different commercial LIDARs so far. And we had a history at UMaine over the last 14 years of building buoys, mid-ocean buoys, in our oceanography department. And these buoys have been operating for a number of years, and we've taken one of our designs of a buoy, if you wish, and adapted that to a commercial LIDAR. And what we've added to it is more batteries, so you can power the LIDARs. A lot of these LIDARs will have 100 to 200 watt draws on them. So we have enough batteries in there and generation capacity on board. We have solar panels and wind turbines, so we can keep the LIDAR operational autonomously, essentially, without requirements for additional energy. So yes, it was built in a lab. It's out there right now. AWS TruePower we've hired AWS TruePower to do the independent validation of that LIDAR against a fixed bottom LIDAR, which we have on the island. And they're doing that evaluation using the Carbon Trust requirements for LIDAR. Once we pass that, which will be here in the next few months, and the report's done, that LIDAR will satisfy the Carbon Trust requirements for LIDAR data collected for offshore wind development. So
we're running out of time here. So just one more question. Actually, I'll just do two in one. Do you know yet where the transmission cables will land, and has planning begun for that? And can you remind us what is the latest with the power purchase agreements for the project?
Yeah, I can go ahead and cover that. In terms of the cables on land, we're looking at a variety of locations where we can land the cable. And there's engineering issues of how you run the cable, but there are also a variety of environmental issues, but also local issues. In terms of acceptance of the cable by communities who potentially would host the cable. All of those are important conditions. So yeah, you have engineering issues, you have environmental issues, you have local acceptance issues. All of those are part of what we're going to be looking at over the next year to identify a suitable location for the cable. In terms of the power purchase agreement, as you know, the PPA has been approved by the Maine PUC a number of years ago, So now the goal here is to turn that into a contract.
Yeah, let me just clarify. This is Jeff. It was not a PPA. It was the term sheet. So the commission issued an order approving the term sheet. The next steps will be negotiating with Central Maine Power, which is the utility, and the Public Utilities Commission staff for a contract consistent with the terms of the term sheet.
And a draft of that contract already exists right now. It's been developed by the PUC staff that meets the contract term sheet.
So we'll be taking all that in due course.
All right. Thank you very much. There were a lot more questions. Unfortunately, they all came in at the end, and I mostly got through the ones that were typed in during the start of during the presentations themselves. So apologies to those of you whose questions were not answered. And this concludes our webinar. Many thanks to everyone for participating. Thank you to Sam for setting this up, and of course to today's guest speakers. We will talk with Jeff and Habib about getting some slides up on our website. The address is up on your screen now, and so look there for future updates and possible recordings. Thanks again, everyone.